Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So, interesting story coming out of Connecticut today. Evidently, the Republican who is running for Congress up in Connecticut's second congressional district, evidently, he just dropped out. I guess that's what happens when you get arrested for first-degree unlawful restraint and second-degree strangulation. Evidently, him and his girlfriend had an argument, and who knows? Who knows what happens to these things? From all reports, I guess he tried to strangle her. Probably not somebody we want in Congress, and good to see him go. But, you know, not surprising with today's GOP. We got Mr. Grabber by the you-know-what as president. And, you know, with today's announcement of Harris as Biden's pick, immediately my mind, and I know this is wrong, but my mind went to, I wonder if Trump would try and grab her by the you-know-what, and I wonder if she would knock him out. That I would pay to see. Anyway, here to share some thoughts on today's choice, I've asked our good friend Scott Dworkin to come talk with us. Scott is the co-founder of the Democratic Coalition, also the host of the wonderful podcast, The Dworkin Report. Scott, thanks for taking time for us.
Glad to be back, Rick. How are you?
So, thoughts on the little announcement?
Perfect choice.
You're in the perfect choice camp.
Yes, I am in the perfect choice camp. This is what it is. So it's perfect.
Okay.
Because this is what we're gonna do, and this is the plan forward. I think given the situation, this is the best possible pick.
All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, see ya.
Well, I mean, because if it's the perfect pick, of which, look, she wasn't my first choice, but she's my choice now. And I said this about Biden. Biden was my fifth choice. He's now my number one choice. The Biden-Harris ticket is now my number one choice.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know, if you're not a supporter of Biden, then even if you're not a supporter of either presidential campaigns, you are a Trump supporter at this point. So I want people to keep that in mind. Every vote counts, every vote matters, and I want to make sure that he loses in the biggest landslide ever in American history, which is hard because there's a lot of landslides.
Yeah, there's a couple.
There's a
couple.
But, yeah, we want it to be one of the bigger ones because we want it to be so bad that he doesn't even contest anything, which would have to be, you know, an insurmountable number, which I think is attainable.
I hope so, because look, I mean, all the things that I see lining up on them fighting mail-in ballots, and a lot of people are going to be voting by mail-in ballot. I see this is where they're going to, in my view, try and pull all their shenanigans.
Yeah, we're working on a lot of things in regard to election protection. It could be whether or not, you know, in some states we're going to set up ballot drop boxes so it skips the post office altogether. In some states, we also are going to make sure that people vote safely in person. Depending on the district, we're going to want some people to actually have to show up. Given history and what we know about a certain district, sometimes if you're able-bodied and willing, then we want you to do that. If there's not any other safe alternative and you're not sure if your vote's going to count, then there's that. There's also drive-through voting that's available in some states. So there's a lot of different things that we can do in different states, and we're focused right now on Georgia, Florida, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan, Arizona, and Colorado. So, and you know, obviously we're working in Maine and North Carolina and South Carolina and Kentucky as well. But you know, we're gonna focus on the states that control the election. And the districts where we think are going to be taken advantage of, or they're not going to send enough ballots to, or they're not going to, like they did in Georgia, where they didn't bring any of the power cords for the voting machines for an entire precinct. And so, like, these are the types of fraud that we have to experience. Remember, we're up against the United States government, the Trump administration as a whole, and also Trump's campaign, Russia, North Korea, Iran, China, Saudi Arabia, and so we're working against that, in Brazil probably as well. But like we're working against that tidal wave, and I still think, you know, we don't need to cheat to win, and he can't win without cheating. And I think that's pathetic and sad. And anybody who supports that, you know, it's not going to be pleasant, you know, rebuilding, but we won't need them to rebuild.
No, you said before we went on air that you saw, you know, Joe Biden and you saw Kamala Harris together and you go, that's the winning ticket. What made you think that?
I've researched, I've done a lot of vetting. We wrote books, me and Grant Stern. We wrote books about Kamala Harris and also on Joe Biden. We vetted them hard. And we put everything out there that, you know, could be dug up. That we know about. I'm sure that more stuff will be dug up over time because that's how it works. But, you know, given the circumstances, given the social media presence, the timing, and just what I think America needs, Kamala Harris, and that's exactly the right pick. And you know, I think she found out today, very like 90 minutes before or something like that, Joe called her and asked her to join the ticket. And so I think given everything and how much he gets under her skin and how much support she has from her family and friends who will come out and speak on her behalf as surrogates. I mean, it is a whole new membership and an invigorating branch of the campaign that is going to take off like a rocket ship. They have Karine Jean-Pierre, who was appointed as the chief of staff, and she was already senior advisor for Biden. And so they've got a great team who knows what they're doing. And if I don't know if you remember, but Karine actually was the one when there was a random dude that just like charged the stage to try to grab a microphone. Karine was the one who stood in between her and him and Harris on stage in public, where she thought, you know, she was going to get attacked or something. So this is the kind of person that we want as a chief of staff in this kind of situation. You know, I think we need to finish strong, and I think that you know, this is going to be a boost. Seeing the reality and stop with the whole, is it going to be this person? This way, seeing the reality, you see the vision of like that ticket can win. I've seen it before. I felt it before. And it was in 2008. And so I feel that again. And thank God for that feeling.
So the gut is feeling good. So, but you're not insulted, right? Because today on Fox, I guess it was Fox Sports Radio, Trump did an early morning interview that said some men might be offended, or I guess it was insulted. Some men might be insulted that Biden chose a woman. Are you feeling insulted?
Cool. Those guys can... I'm not going to say expletives, but like, good. You're going to vote for Trump anyways. I don't care. Like, you chauvinist pig. Like, you know, we don't have time for you. Next. That's how I feel about that. Like, are some guys going to be offended? I mean, are they that weak? Are they that pathetic? Probably. And so go for it. You're pissed off about that? Great. Go vote for Trump because Biden chose a woman. That's the dumbest thing. You know, but I'm sure that there will be some people who do that. But not more people than people will turn out for Harris, not even close.
Yeah, but I'll take our woman over Trump's woman any
Absolutely.
Day.
Absolutely.
I don't know if you saw the evangelical leader who called Mike Pence Trump's submissive wife.
No, I did not.
So I'll take our woman over his woman any day.
Right.
In fact, I got to tell you, I'm waiting for the. I want to circle the date. I want to know when the vice presidential debate is, because to me, that's where the fireworks are going to be.
Yeah, it's. I have a feeling that Mother is going to call in sick for him on that day. He's not going to want to go to the debate. I mean, there's just no way for him. I mean, I think his jab tonight was like, and it was nice to see, actually. I mean, he's terrible, but like, it was still nice to see him be like, well, I'll see you in Salt Lake City. That's all it was. And it was like, whoa. You know, it's like Trump's going to be disappointed in your jab there. but it was like just innocent looking, and not as just awful. And it's like, great. Maybe you guys can sit down and have a discussion. But I have a feeling that, you know, Pence is going to be as boring, you know, thumbtack on the wall kind of policy talk about that, and you know, Harris is gonna hammer it home, but also, you know, use fine touch with that. So I think it's gonna be a great debate. It's gonna be boring, as most debates are, and it's also going to be policy based more than most. But I think they're not ready for Harris, and they'll never be. That's just a fact, because I think that they're backed into a corner now, thinking we're anti Black Lives Matter, we're anti Dreamers, we're anti teachers, we're anti farmers, we're anti everything. You know what I mean? Like, we're anti keeping people in their homes. We're anti keeping them safe from the virus. We're anti mask. We're anti everything. You know, we're done with the anti. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? What name one thing you're going to do instead of go golfing and hide in your bunker on the golf course? Like, what are you going to do for Americans? People are dying. And I know that this sort of nuclear blast that the coronavirus per se is, I think that it's still going off, and people are not able to grieve and understand what's happening yet. And when the dust settles, which is soon, probably in the next month or so, and people start realizing, like, oh my, what is happening? Like, I think there'll be a reset, and these Biden and Harris are the perfect people to do it. And I just, given everything, not to mention the fact, and I remind this to people all the time, one of his most trusted advisors besides Dr. Biden, his wife, is Barack Obama. So getting us back on track and resetting things and getting things set up, I think he'll be in a great position to help with that as well.
Now, for me, it's not just about the White House. It's the down ticket, the Senate, more importantly than anything, because it doesn't matter if we elect the Biden-Harris ticket. If you don't take the Senate back, if you still have Mitch McConnell, we still have the same gridlock. We still don't get a stimulus bill passed through. We still don't get help to change the direction of the country and clean up the mess. And there's some good races across the country that I think there are some really good opportunities to pick up, Georgia being one of those states where there are two Senate seats open right now.
Yeah, Georgia, South Carolina. North Carolina is a prime pickup opportunity. Texas is interesting. It's on the map, for us now. I would say that, there may need some more time for it, for us to really take the state fully blue. But I think it's winnable for Biden this year. And I think the worst part about it is Republicans have to spend a lot of money there. They're going to have to spend a lot of money because they don't know how influential Biden is there. It's hard to poll people right now as well. Like, everything is kind of fluid, and it's really going to come down to, I think it's going to come down to who's the best candidate this time, instead of who can have the best barbs and, I'm going to vote for him because I hate her, or I'm not going to vote at all. I'm going to vote for Jill Stein. Like, I think people have moved past that. And as long as we keep our eyes on the prize and make sure that we actually vote, I think that we have a chance in places like Kentucky, where I've won statewide before. It is hard. It is not easy, but it's doable with our Democratic governor that we have there, Mr. Beshear. I mean, there's definitely a lot of potential out there. And we've won in places I would have never expected it before. And Nebraska is an example, Kansas statewide. This is all attainable. I want to win in Idaho. I want to win in Wyoming. I want to win. Those are pretty Republican states. And I think that we need to expand what we're talking about and make it even broader and appealing to people. But at this point, there couldn't be starker and more or clearer divisions between what they stand for. They stand for nothing good, and we're standing for just like even the basic premise of democracy and freedom and peaceful protesting and
sanity.
Sanity,
logic,
no propaganda, and not to committing treason every single day or in a corrupt act or taking a day off or a weekend off for a golf vacation at your own resort where you pocket taxpayer money that's paid by the security and staff at your institution while they're paying hurricane level rates for the hotel rooms, which are maximum for them, while they're sitting there paying top dollar for the food that they have to pay for there, while they're sitting there working security at a constant at these golf courses. This is going to be the most corrupt thing that we've ever had. And I thought the Russia scandal was bad, but his coronavirus cover up, I guess, that this is the most corrupt. Like it involves too many deaths. Hiding death, trying to cover up death, and also him being responsible for the murder of Americans. And that's I do actually believe that. And we've talked about things like that in the past. But you know, if he had done more people, tens of thousands of people would be alive right now. And I think he should be held responsible for that.
Oh, absolutely. And this is where I'm hoping that Joe Biden doesn't do what every other administration has done. Is go, oh, well, that's in the past. We're going to let it go. One of the biggest knocks I had against Obama was that he didn't go after those banking criminals and didn't pursue throwing them in jail. For me, I think you have to go back and you have to clean up the mess that they made and hold people accountable so that maybe future politicians don't do it. But I want to go back to the Senate for a minute because, you know, the Democrats need to pick up four to gain control of the House. Is that right?
Yeah, and hold Jones.
And there are two really good looking ones right now in Arizona and in Maine.
And Peters of Michigan as well.
And you got those two. And then, you know, possibly picking up two and one in Arizona, one in Maine. Where do you see the other potential, more likely victories?
Colorado, I think, is a prime target. And then North Carolina. They're not very, you know, it's interesting state because for years they would vote for a Democratic governor and a Republican Senate. And it was just odd, but they are very candidate based in North Carolina. And I think Biden brings it, knocks Tillis out of the Senate. I think he's been absolutely useless and Burr has been of no help there. So I think of the two states, you know, there, I also think Georgia is a potential, but again, it's, you know, you have a governor there that cheats. And so like you have to assume the worst. And that's what we are doing. You know, we're the guys that are making a plan for everything. And we want to make sure that all angles are covered and we're ready for election day and everything building up to that. It's a different world right now. But I'll tell you, I wish that we had all these, all this knowledge, all this power, all this organized nature right now in 2016, but we didn't. And so, you know, winning back the House and winning in statewide in Alabama and other races that we've won over time, it's built up to this moment. And so, you know, this is it. Every single day matters. Every single thing that you do matters.
Yep.
And you can't just talk the talk. You have to write about it. You have to talk to your friends and family and make sure that they actually know the importance of this and they're reminded, like, remind them of the thing that made them most mad about Trump. And also remind them about what Biden stands for and how he wouldn't do that. And so you can just give the very clear divisions. And I think the biggest thing is, you know, Biden, day one, will sit there and he'll look Republicans in the face and be like, come on, gather around. And he'll try and unite everybody. I won't be the most keen of that because there's going to be a lot of those members of Congress that will be under investigation. But there will be some. There's going to be some people that we have to work with in order to get things done. And he'll be able to bridge that divide and rebuild. I think we'll also be working on getting different Republicans in office in mostly Republican states, and helping with the primaries there as well to push incumbent senators that sat on their hands out of office and replace them with Republicans who have some sort of dignity and self-respect, which doesn't exist right now in the Senate for the Republican Party.
No, I think they all have to go. I think you're right. Last question I've got for you, because, you know, one of the things that I'm most hopeful for is that we get a government that's competent. And I know you laugh at that, but I want actually qualified people to run the different agencies. I want people who know what the hell they're doing. And if we have another coronavirus type event, that there are going to be people there who know how to handle it. And maybe we don't end up in this mess that we're in again. I'm hoping Biden's the guy who brings together a highly skilled team that's going to bring back, you know, some function to our government.
These are workers. I know these people. I know the senior staff. I know their staff nationally. Like these are good people. These are people who are workers and believe in fighting for Americans for real. And, you know, they put their lives out there in regards to everything on the line for campaigning. And most of them have done it for decades. You know, I think that we shouldn't underestimate the strength of who we can put together and who's willing to come back into government to rebuild our country. And I think that we'll see it very clearly that, you know, we have everything going for us, but we have to act like we're behind at all times and we have to sprint through the finish. Those are like, we can't act like we're ahead at any point. And then once we finish here, and if we were to win in November, then we need to make sure he actually leaves the White House. And then when Biden goes in, we need to make sure that the people are held accountable. And that, as you had mentioned, will be my full-time job.
No, that's
I will make sure that that happens.
No, I mean, this is where, again, I go back to, you know, and I said this earlier, you know, in 2009, we all went home. Hey, we won. You know, we did the right thing. Hey, history was made. We broke our arms, patting ourselves on the back, and we didn't get the hope and change we wanted. The hope is this moment, this time, we stay active, we stay engaged, and we push a President Biden to do what we need him to do and what I think he'll want to do.
Yeah, I think he would be great. But, you know, as of right now, if the election were held today, Trump will probably win. So just think about those words, whether or not you think they're true or not, and just remember them, because it gives me a chill when I said them out loud.
Yeah, I didn't want to hear that.
Well, I mean, that's what we need to repeat every single day, is that it's reality. Like, he can win. Yeah. So let's make sure he doesn't.
Let's make sure. Scott, I appreciate the time. Good stuff, man.
Thank you.
Our good friend Scott Dworkin. Quick break, right back. Stick around.
Waving the flag of freedom for people, not corporations. Rick Smith.